Being confident and comfortable in your own skin is no easy task.
But on Project Runway Redemption, 8 alumni designers return to prove they have the confidence, comfort, and talent that it takes to push the limits.
This season on Project Runway Redemption, the returning designers are here to prove that maybe, just maybe, the judges got it wrong the first time around.
With a newfound confidence in their work, they'll bring their unique creative vision to life through the fabulous clothes they create.
It's all fun and games, of course, but let's not forget, it's a competition. The designers will be battling it out to claim those redemption bragging rights and more.
Can we talk about how this season also features a challenge from the iconic Cyndi Lauper herself?
Yes, it's inspired by her bold fashion choices over the years, and she even sent each designer a pre-selected fabric to incorporate into their garments.
Stream Project Runway Redemption, sponsored by Novartis, now on the Bravo app, BravoTV.com, or Bravo's YouTube channel.
You can also check out Cyndi's podcast, PSO in the Know, for more stories of confidence, comfort, and hope. Visit PSO, that's P-S-O, in the know.com. Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So, Megan, out of an abundance of caution, we are recording remotely today. And why is that?
I feel like because of HIPAA, I can't be the one to say it.
Okay, fine. I'll be the one to say it. I am recovering from COVID-19, as you may be able to tell by my voice.
Yeah, you're a little nasally today.
A little more nasally than usual, perhaps.
Right.
Well, I did want to say thank you to everyone who reached out. I know I did post about it on Instagram last week. Megan's been checking in on me, Britt too, our producer. So thank you to everyone. I'm coming out the other side. Still no real taste or smell. It's coming back, which is definitely the weirdest symptom, but I'm doing okay.
Good. And thank you for being cautious and putting my health first.
Absolutely. I would not wish this on anyone.
Well, there is some news we should discuss. The Winter House trailer finally dropped.
Oh my God. Yes. Let's play the audio of that.
Men and women of stone
are now in Vermont,
baby.
Old friends.
I'm so excited.
New friends.
Why are my panties on the ground?
And dingleberries. We came here to party.
Bikini down.
This season on Winter House.
We're never going home.
I got dinner.
Oh my God, that is vile.
Come on in.
No.
Lindsay. I want my mom.
No. I don't know how we're gonna make it 17 days though. I don't either, man.
I'm so single, unless somebody comes and like blows me out of the f-ing water.
You have to literally have been sent by God himself.
Yeah. Did you see his ass?
Hai questo sorriso bellissimo. Mi riempie il cuore ogni volta che ti guardo.
I think I'm in love.
I'm trying to kidnap you to bring you home with me.
You're interested in Lindsay.
Well, we made out.
What?
She also stayed in my bed.
How many girls in bed in your bed?
The mahogany room don't play.
It's not about how you perform on it, it's how you look in the lodge, and you're gonna look great.
Sierra is so pretty, it is like intimidating.
Are we finding love in Vermont?
Vermont's a crazy Vermont. Place. I've
been waiting so for your ass to get here.
Oh, no.
What's happening?
No, you know what's happening.
Not a threesome.
Say.
I will say.
That's all the girls that he talks to.
This is why you don't like sleep with people.
I don't want to look stupid.
Kyle was like hitting on me in the hot tub.
Gabby's hell-bent on lighting this house on fire.
Anyone seen Amanda?
What? It's gonna be okay.
Please tell me that you haven't moved on.
I'm in love with you.
You know that I like you. I cried after our first date because I am scared to like you.
Hold on, let me get this right. Three girls fighting over Austin Kroll.
Just confused.
Ugh. Not gonna lie, my hands are a little cold. Okay, can I start by saying Andrea is so hot?
So hot.
But I'm also getting Cedric vibes, and that's going to make it hard for me to trust him initially. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, right. Like, you have no basis for that other than you think they look a little similar?
Yes.
Okay.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. Like, oh, God. I mean, do you ever meet someone and it's totally not their fault, but they look like someone you hate and you just have to like try to get over that?
Yes. Or a baby, somebody names their baby something and you have a bad association to that name and you're like, oh, it's such a cute name. But inside you're like, oh God.
I'm really excited. I feel like all the hookups seem intriguing, especially Lindsay and Austin.
Oh my God, I know. What is this about her being in love with him? This is news to me.
I just feel like the reason everyone is so excited for this show is because these two casts belong together.
Yeah.
I know we're getting some newbies and I'm excited to meet them, but just to really, you know, everyone loves hearing a Bravoleb talk about another Bravoleb that they're friends with outside of their shows.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be fun to see that all sort of take place under one roof.
Well, and this whole situation with Austin, do you think he's become more appealing to women because Madison is so hot? So other women are like, wait a second, what does she see that I might not see?
Wow. So I feel like you're saying that Austin on his own is not good looking.
No, but it's sort of like what Paige is saying. Like, really? Austin Kroll? Because Austin is very tall. He's funny. He's charming. Danny has a huge crush on him. And I get it in a lot of ways. But to have this many women across multiple Bravo shows going after him, I don't know. What's going on?
I think you nailed it with that first line. He's very tall.
Yeah. That's really what it is, isn't it?
That's all we need, really.
Now, do you think we will dip into the J-Lo, A-Rod stuff? Because all of that was unfolding right around this time.
Okay, I can only hope, right? Like, we have to hold out hope that we will get some mention of that.
Yeah, we have to. Also, you know, Kyle and Amanda, I'm glad they're both in the house for this show. But I want to say something in Kyle's defense, because he has grown on me so much in the last couple of seasons of Summer House. And in this preview, a new cast member, Gabby, mentions how he was hitting on her in the hot tub. But in his defense, I would argue that being flirtatious may not be the same as hitting on someone, because I think, you know what I mean? Kyle is a very handsome, charming guy. He loves talking with people. He loves being the center of attention. And Gabby is new to all of this. So I do wonder if she was misinterpreting what was going on. And I guess, you know, I don't know.
But there's a whole history there that you can't ignore. He has on Amanda before, you know?
Over a 2-week vacation in Vermont with some new girl. I mean, maybe.
And I agree with you. I definitely think it also goes back to like each couple has their own set of boundaries about like what's too far. Like, you know, some couples don't care at all that someone flirts. Like, that's not a big deal. So I guess as long as he's staying within Amanda's comfort level, that's what's important.
So true.
Winter House premieres Wednesday, October 20th at 9/8 Central.
Mark your calendars. The Emmys were also last weekend, and Lisa Rinna hosted the red carpet for E! Did you see how gorgeous she looked?
So gorgeous.
Oh my God, the Oscar de la Renta gown. I mean, she has, as we know from this season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, quite a collection of dresses, and that's just another one to add to that collection.
Also, our friend Danny Pellegrino hosted an Emmys post show on E!
Oh my God, yes. Also looking very dapper in that suit he was wearing.
He did,
oh
yes.
My God. Shout out to Danny.
So something exciting I got to do last week was watch the Beverly Hills reunion taping.
Oh my God. Okay, so the reunion looks are available via Bravo Insider on bravotv.com. Some of them have already, I think, leaked out on social media. But what can you tease about what you saw?
About the reunion as a whole?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to think because I don't want to get in trouble. But
I will say that I felt like Erica spoke a lot. Like, I wasn't sure if the legal parameters would make everything sort of a,
yeah,
you know, hard to talk about. But they really went line by line, wow, over things that she said throughout the season.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Vanderpump Rules season 9 returns this Tuesday, September 28th. Are we excited?
Very. Are you? I watched the premiere and I really liked it.
Oh, okay. So we'll probably get into that next week's episode. But
yeah,
were there a lot of babies? Just like babies left and right?
Yeah. Smattering of babies.
Also, my girl, Kenya Moore from Real Housewives of Atlanta, she debuted on Dancing with the Stars this past week.
Are you so happy?
You know, it's funny to think that I am in the demographic of people who will now be watching Dancing with the Stars. It's like Kenya Moore. It's Mel C from the Spice Girls.
Oh.
It's just like my people are now, yeah, on the show. And it's just, you know, this is where we're at in life. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Crazy how that show is going so strong. Like, you know, you think about all the ones that didn't make it, like Diving with the Stars.
Was that a real one?
Yes. Kyle and Kim were on it.
Oh my God. Diving. Interesting. Interesting.
And I'm very excited to announce there is a new episode of Life After Bravo available on BravoTV.com starring Lily Galici from Shaws of Sunset.
Ooh, and her proximity to the Kardashians. You must have loved that one.
I loved it. And I think I just got so much more out of it than I was expecting. Like, I just never know. And I had never met Lily before. And I do feel like it's been a while since she's been on Bravo. Would she not really care to talk about it too much, you know? And she really gave me everything and more. So check it out.
Nice. Okay, so what are we talking about today?
Real Housewives of Potomac, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Plus, you interviewed Whitney Rose from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Okay, Potomac.
Yeah.
You know, I would just like to share, like Grace, I too have just received my learner permit.
Like Grace, do you deserve to have your learner's permit?
I think I deserve it. I'm not sure how Grace did, but
I just worry that, you know, the reason we test people is to make sure they are up to the task. And I worry that it, like, at 5 tries, maybe we should just be like, you know what? It's not for you.
Move to New York City.
And, you know, some people are just bad at taking tests, but then seeing her in the car, like, freaking out, I was like, you, please don't drive. Please just be part of, because I keep hearing that kids, like, the nowadays are less likely to get their driver's license because, oh, wow, Uber is so available and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, true.
Why can't she just do that?
Okay, stop. Okay.
Sorry, didn't
okay
mean to curse.
Okay, all right.
Why am I going so fast?
I don't know.
Okay.
Put in drive.
Drive first.
Okay, so, okay. No.
I'm sorry.
No.
Ah!
Hit the cameraman. Okay. Break.
Okay. I know. I mean, she might have to. I will say, too, taking the test online, I did a bunch of practice ones first and then, you know, committed to the final one, which was 50 questions. I think I ended up getting 48 out of 50. Very proud of myself. But they are very difficult questions. So it is one thing to not be good at taking a test, to get nervous, to forget these very technical details and nuances of different laws in your state and all of that. But then seeing her behind the wheel and like up on the curb and Giselle being like, watch out for the cameraman. I'm like, oh, she definitely needs some more real practice behind a wheel. Cause that's also a tiny, tiny car. So if you can't maneuver that around,
right,
that's a little concerning. I learned how to drive on a Mitsubishi Montero, which is enormous. So, you know, like to not be able to swing it in a little car like that. So I know in the last couple of weeks, I've also been saying that I'm a little wishy-washy with Mia and where she's at, but I think I'm back in with her. And I'll tell you why. I think Mia learns from her mistakes specifically as like a housewife. I think she's been very good on social media about listening to fans and responding to them and reevaluating things that she's said and done. And generally, I think she has good intentions. She did get a little shady towards the end of the episode with all the stuff with, you know, Mama Dot and what was going on with Candace and Chris and all that. But I'm willing to give Mia another chance.
But what made you say that, just because of, you know, on social media or anything in this episode?
Not necessarily in this episode, but since we haven't done recaps in the last couple of weeks, I know we've missed some developments with her storyline and things that have happened in her past, her rebuilding her relationship with her mom. I feel reinvested in her. And plus all the things that I've seen on social media, you know, her responses to things and just, I think the way that she's handling herself and willing to learn and grow. I think she's just navigating this housewife space in a responsible way, whereas some people don't always do that.
Right. I do think it's interesting, you know, since so much of the episode was about Candace and Chris and just the parallels that a lot of the couples have been dealing with working with their spouse.
Yeah.
And I had been rewatching Real Housewives of Potomac from the beginning, and I forgot how intense the fighting was with Ashley and Michael when they had Oz, the restaurant.
That's true.
And I feel like I totally forgot. They actually separated as a result. And I think that it sort of puts into context why people are being a little bit nosy with Candace and Chris. It's not all ill intention. I think it's experience
and concern, maybe in some ways, and that can come across as shady or whatever, but at the end of the day it might just be coming from a place of, oh, that might not be working for you because that hasn't worked for others, you know.
Right. I do think it's unfair though how everyone was talking about Chris at the music video shoot, because on one hand they don't want him profiting off of Candace. Well, so then he needs his own job. And then they're upset he's at his own job and not at her thing.
It seems like he can't win, right?
Which isn't.
I mean, my thought was, is Chris half-assing his responsibilities as her manager? Which in some ways it comes across like that in the episode. But if he's really trying to balance both her career and his own, then people can't necessarily be critical of that, because he isn't just giving up everything that he's wanted to do and been working towards to focus all on Candace. He is still maintaining his own, you know, career path in a lot of ways.
For sure. Do you think it's fair to ask if he's on the payroll?
So I have a question.
Sure.
Is Chris getting paid as a manager?
Ooh. But I guess that's one of the issues. Okay. Oh. You're not really officially, I don't think.
I'm not doing that.
Girl, I'm not doing
it. What happened?
Your friend is over there being messy. Mia has come out. She over there asking if Chris is on payroll.
Is he?
That's none of my business.
I'd like to know.
I would not.
Well, if he is, he shouldn't be paid today. Doctor paid today, he ain't here.
I don't know if it's fair, but I agree that someone needs to ask because I want to know. And it's also, exactly. And, you know, for them to drop $10,000 to produce this video, if they're working with that kind of money, A, he should probably be taking a small stipend or something for his responsibilities, or B, why not spend a little extra money to hire someone who is already an established manager for artists, where, you know, this person can focus on Candace completely, you know, like it's sort of like, it seems to be that money is not the issue, but the issue is how much of it is Chris just sort of taking and riding coattails and all of that, because that's what, you know, Mama Dot is pretty much implying.
Yeah, I think that's the part that concerns me the most, is just his lack of experience. I don't understand why he needs to be the one who's doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. His specialty seems to be more in hospitality, cooking, that kind of stuff. This seems to be maybe a little bit out of his league.
Yeah.
You know, also watching Dorothy be Dorothy in this episode, it made me think that I would love to see a conversation between her and Mama Joyce.
Oh my God, yes. Like housewife to housewife, except house mom to house mom.
Yes. Oh my God. Maybe this is a new digital series. I mean, there would just be so much shade in that room that, oh God, I can only imagine. What did you think about Wendy running to tell Candace what conversations were happening on set?
I just feel like she should have saved it for the next day.
Yeah.
Like, I get that she's extra sensitive to gossip right now about people's families. And she obviously, because she made such a big stand over them talking about her marriage, she can't sit back and do nothing. But I just feel like, oh my God, Candace is working. Like, just wait a minute.
Yeah, this might not be the time or the place.
Right.
I mean, then you got Giselle adding some fuel to the fire right there at the end. So maybe she and Wendy have a little bit more in common, you know, than they remember that they do at this point.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. I want to give a shout out to Robin. And here's why. 1 minute she's out here owing the IRS $90,000. The next, she's making $60,000 selling her embellished hats. Like, talk about a rise and a fall and just being able to overcome these things. I don't know how she does it.
I have to find a larger space in order to continue to grow my business. I have over 15,000 orders to this day. I mean, profit-wise, to be honest, I need to do my numbers, but like nowadays, in a week, I sell out grossing. It could be like $60,000.
Right. I think that she's a good example of getting back up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, multiple times with everything she and Juan went through years ago with that friend of theirs who basically took all of their money. And last season, she's like, oh, yeah, I owe the IRS this much money. And now she's like, oh, yeah, I'm making all this money. I mean, it doesn't necessarily seem like, I don't know, motivation is her problem, you know, because she seems to be getting things done. Another thing that came up in this episode, actually, that I am curious about your perspective on, Ashley made this comment about having an attractive nanny. Would you put that into consideration if you were hiring a nanny, hypothetically?
Actually, before I had children, I never thought I would have an attractive nanny. Like, that's just temptation for my husband. Da, da, da. Hi.
Hi.
But she's a saving grace.
Okay.
My perspective has changed so much.
You know, would think so. Like, I mean, obviously, I could just lie and pretend like I'm just such a cool girl and, like, it doesn't matter. But how would it not matter? Like, it matters.
I know. It's just so interesting.
Like, just because that person is so ingrained in your family, too, you know?
Right, right. I mean, do you think that there is this unspoken understanding among career nannies who are just like, huh? I guess, like, I shouldn't put on makeup for this interview, or like, maybe I won't brush my hair today. You know, it's just like, I wonder if that's a consideration.
Yeah. I mean, maybe some people, though, it just doesn't faze them at all. And maybe I'll be like that one day.
Right. Right. I mean, it's just so interesting because I was trying to put myself in Ashley's shoes and think about, you know, if it were me, would I have reservations? If I were Ashley and I were in a relationship with Michael specifically, perhaps, but I would imagine other couples, like you said, maybe at a certain point in their lives, at a certain point in their relationship, when they go to hire a nanny, it wouldn't really be a consideration. It might be a, you know, a wink, wink, nod, nod moment, but maybe wouldn't be the end all be all.
Right.
So, so funny.
Salt Lake City?
Yeah. Watching Jen trying to right her wrongs feels a little bit like housekeeping, right? She's doing it because she has to, not necessarily because she wants to.
Well, you mean with her nephew?
Well, just not just with him, but with all of the relationships that she's trying to repair. It seems like we've come at her at a point in her life where she is trying to fix a lot of her relationships, but I'm not sure if she really wants to do it or if she knows that she just has to.
You know, as far as I know, that stuff with the nephew wasn't like public knowledge. So I felt like her admitting to how she was neglecting her family and putting it out there was pretty great.
That's true.
And I just want to apologize to you for the last year, like me not being there like I always should.
You know, she volunteered that information that isn't so flattering.
Yeah, that's true, because you really have to have come to terms with making that kind of mistake to be able to share it publicly like that. So we'll give credit where credit's due. I think that's fair.
Yeah. We go to Meredith then, talking to her husband about what Jen, you know, has been saying about Brooks via endorsing tweets about him.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, angry Meredith is scary.
Yeah.
But like in a hot way, you know,
definitely.
Because it's not like, it's not scary in a way that's like, you shouldn't be acting that way. It's scary in a way that's like, I hope that you're always on my team.
Stop f***ing with my child and my family. It's enough. You know me.
No. I'm the calmest human being.
Yeah. But she's pushing me and pushing me.
I get it.
To a limit where I will unleash on her. You want to keep coming after my family? It's going to end ugly for her.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of what she's focused on right now is the Brooke stuff. And she's definitely in mama bear mode, where she's feeling very protective of her family, very protective of her son. But it is so much bigger than just this particular situation, I think. I feel like she just does not trust Jen. She doesn't trust Jen's intentions. She doesn't believe any of Jen's excuses. I think she just, after last season, has a much different perspective on who Jen is fundamentally. And the examples of the Brooke stuff are just what's at the forefront right now. So it's what like Meredith has to work with at the moment. But it's so much bigger than just Brooks.
Right. I would agree with that totally. I feel like Jen, I was sort of with her at the beginning of the episode, like I said, giving her credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
But Jen totally lost me in that conversation with Lisa when Lisa was explaining why Meredith is so angry. But Jen being like, I still don't understand the hurt feelings.
Right.
She's got some hurt feelings I think that we can resolve.
I still don't understand the hurt feelings.
What do you not I don't understand what you don't understand.
Well, the thing about it is hurt feelings have to be acknowledged, whether you understand them or not. If someone is like, you did something to hurt me, this is how it made me feel, you have to acknowledge that. You might not be able to understand it. You might not get it.
No, wait though. Why can she not understand it? She liked tweets that were very inappropriate. What do you not get about that? You know, to me, I just feel like I'm getting Teresa Giudice vibes, where it's like, you don't want to understand the problem, you know?
Right. Well, Jen had a lot of problems last season, and I think still does, taking responsibility for things she has said and done. And honestly, with what we know, that's only going to get worse for her as the rest of this season plays out. Do you know what I mean?
It's true.
You know what? What I find interesting too is I wish that Heather and Lisa were in a better place, because if we could get a scene between the two of them discussing their friendships with Jen and this loyalty that they have to her, I think we'd get a better understanding of where the two of them are coming from. Because it just, especially by the end of the episode, when we see Jen sitting down with Heather and Heather kind of comes around and is like, I'm willing to still be your friend. I want to be here for you. I think we're all trying to figure out why on both fronts. So if they were actually able to have a conversation and talk it out, maybe we'd get a better understanding of where they're both coming from.
Yeah. And I have to say, I don't understand Heather's motivation at all by the end of the episode to forgive Jen because it took her that entire conversation to admit to a post that she posted.
Yeah.
You know?
And then deleted, allegedly, or something.
Right. And I think that it was good of Heather to stick to her guns in terms of like, I'm sorry, I can't suspend my disbelief that far. And if I have to be your friend, then we can't be friends. Like, that is true, right? You can't, like, don't play dumb with me. You have to be honest. But I don't understand why Heather wants to be friends with someone like that.
You know what it is about Heather? I think she sees the good in people almost to a fault.
Mm.
And I think we know that Heather has struggled a lot with her Mormon faith, this idea of achieving perfection, being the perfect wife, the perfect mom, the perfect friend. I think in this effort to achieve perfection, she feels as though she has to stand by Jen and be there for her and forgive her for things that she's done. But it's almost like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I think, you know, Heather might get to that place by the end of this season with everything else that's coming up. But I love Heather, and I love that she does want people to be good, and she almost wants to fix everything. But I don't know if that's going to serve her in the long run. I'd also like to just give a shout out to Mary M. Cosby in this episode, because minimal makeup, sans wig, walking around the house in her like casual but chic gear, she just looked really good and happy and healthy.
Yeah, I don't know that that's like what I would say, but but I think I get what you're saying.
Last thought on Salt Lake City, and I'm surprised you weren't the one to bring this up, but Whitney in her interview scene recreating various, I guess, modes of sexual activity.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to get MVP this season, I'm telling you.
Very, very funny.
When before it was like, oh, yeah. Oh. It blows my mind we're having this conversation because it used to just be like free flowing.
So I got the chance to speak to Whitney Rose from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I asked her all about the evolving friendships over the course of the season, how she has reacted to all of the drama that is going to unfold. Plus, is she having more sex with her husband now? Here's that interview. Hi, Whitney. It's so nice to have you back on the podcast.
It's so nice to be back on, Megan. Thanks for having me.
So you have now been a Real Housewife for a bit now. What is the biggest way that you have felt your life change since season one started to air?
You know, the biggest thing that has changed is the amount of energy and attention on me. You know, getting used to everyone's comments and opinions. And while most of it is positive, there are those, you know, trolls and haters out there. So just the amount of energy that I feel from everyone, good and bad.
Yeah. I mean, how do you sort of deal with it? Do you feel like you have to step away sometimes or what?
Yeah, it's definitely a fine balance of stepping away from social media and only engaging with the positive and just focusing on the positive. I mean, there's so many amazing opportunities that come from the Bravo community and the Bravo network, and just focusing on those and really learning that it's not real unless it exists in my head.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a thing that Bravo fans, we often talk about, and it's called the second season glow up. And it's where a Real Housewife has clearly seen herself for a whole season on TV and then has felt the need to make some changes. Did you feel any of that pressure going into your second season?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think that it was pressure to necessarily change anything about myself, but I definitely noticed, like everyone else is wearing all these fancy outfits all the time and I'm in sweats constantly. Yeah. But I mean, it's a balance of like enhancing your natural self and staying true to who you are, but a glow up, everyone wants to see it.
Yeah, of course. We live for it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone is obviously talking about this season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And in one word, what would you say the experience of shooting it was like?
At some points, traumatizing. It was incredible though, Megan. It was like, it's hard to even put it into words. It just was surreal. There were moments of so much fun. There are moments of trauma. There is moments of just pure shock.
Yeah. You know, that cold open.
Ooh, isn't that amazing?
And you lived it. I can't, you know, did it feel as dramatic in the moment as it is for us watching it at home?
So, I mean, just watching it, I get the chills all over. Thinking about it, I get the chills. So imagine watching it and times that by probably 500,000, or I don't even know. Yeah. It was one of the craziest experiences of my life. I never thought I would live through something like that. It was so bizarre that I didn't really, it's almost like I had an out of body experience. Like it didn't feel real.
Yeah. I mean, this season is very controversial, like just the media surrounding it, the fans clamoring for it. Do you think if you had known everything that was going to happen in season two, you still would have signed on?
Oh man. You know, that's a tough question because I absolutely love being a housewife. I love the franchise. I love Salt Lake City. And I think that, yeah, I would, because even though there's a lot of unknown still of what this means for our franchise, I've learned and grown so much. And I feel like I've experienced my own real life. I'm like living in my own dateline.
Yeah.
And yeah, why not? Life is about experiences and growing and growth. Like, so yeah, I think I still would have chosen to do it because I would have been naive to how intense it would actually be.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was talking to Lisa and I asked her this. Have you been watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills knowing that, you know, there's maybe certain similarities happening and just sort of like, do you feel like you can relate to what those ladies are going through right now?
Absolutely. It is a roller coaster of emotions. You know, we still don't have all the information about Jen, and more information as it comes in, you have to process that. And with processing information comes all sorts of emotions and it triggers a lot. So there definitely is a lot of parallels watching the Beverly Hills women go through and navigate with Erica. But the biggest difference is, you know, Jen is the one being accused, not her husband.
Right.
So we have, it's a little bit different because this is a person who we've built, you know, close relationships with, and you know, who's a big part of our life. And I think it's definitely parallels Beverly Hills, but it's a whole nother level when the housewife is the one being accused, I think.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, from what we saw from the super tease, that the relationships are going to take a lot of twists and turns. What was a relationship, whether it was with yours or someone else's, that you feel like took the biggest turn?
Oh, there's so many. I think definitely my relationship with Mary took a turn. My relationship with Lisa took a turn, but you'll see even Lisa and Meredith take a turn. I think we all did. I think there was so much going on. I felt like every week was just a new week of some shocking event or something new happened every single week. And it really challenged our friendships.
Wow. I guess I also need to know about the cake. Did anyone eat the cake?
Do you know, everyone who partook in the shot ski ate the cake.
You know, that doesn't totally surprise me.
Oh, I think cake is my new thing because I actually over the summer got caked by Steve Aoki. I don't know if you know what that means, but Steve Aoki's a DJ and he throws cheat cakes in people's faces. So it's kind of funny because now I have this thing with cake.
Amazing. Well, anything else we should know? I mean, you know, it's been a while since we've had you on our TVs. Like, what's going on with your family?
Yeah, my family is all doing well. Everyone's so busy and growing so quickly. You know, my family dynamics have changed a little bit since season one. I am in the middle of rebranding Iris and Beau, my skincare company, which we didn't see much of at all in season one. Season two, you'll get to see more of my hustle with my business. And I'm in the middle of a rebrand from Iris and Beau to Wild Rose Beauty. And that's changed a lot of dynamics in my life, especially with my marriage and how I can show up at home with my children. So you'll get to see all of that fun stuff too.
Yeah. I mean, are you getting laid more now?
You know what? I am.
Oh, good.
Justin took the assignment seriously.
He understood the assignment.
Yes. I know. Can you believe, I mean, that trailer to season one, it was just like, well, here we go.
Yeah.
Justin slapping my ass on camera.
Well, I am really excited for this season. I know everyone is, and I'm hoping we get to talk again later in the season when, you know, I've been able to watch more and can talk all about it.
Yes, Megan, there is a lot to unpack. Hopefully we get to chat again soon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
All right, Bev Hills.
Yeah. Oh, Sutton with the foot. I just feel like there is nothing worse in life than dealing with a friend with a foot issue. Like, having to deal with a friend on crutches is possibly worse than being the person on crutches.
It is true. And you know what? Garcelle is a trooper for being there for her, checking on her, wheeling her out to the dinner in that wheelchair. That's real friendship.
Yeah. I remember my friend broke her foot and, you know, in New York City, it's just the worst place to need crutches because, you know, you're walking everywhere. Oh, God, the emotional toll it took on me because it's like, you know, she would get so frustrated and down that she couldn't do anything. But it's like, you can't just leave them, you know, you have to hang there with them.
I had a friend who, I forget if he broke his foot or if it was a sprain like Sutton, which I think is worse than a break, actually. He used to live down on St. Mark's and he had a 6-floor walk up and was on crutches.
Oh my God.
For, you know, probably 6 weeks or whatever it was. And I just remember thinking, like, I would just move somewhere else for those 6 weeks. There's no way I'd be able to go up and down that many flights of stairs.
Yeah.
On crutches. No way.
Yeah. This episode also just made me realize that Kathy Hilton lives the life. I mean, you know that in some respect, but to be someone who doesn't even keep track of their own phone is a special kind of privilege, I feel.
But I don't have a phone to tell them.
Who do I ask for if I call the house?
The lady.
Who's the lady?
That works at my house.
Kathy.
Well, when you have the lady to call upon anytime you need something.
I don't know the lady, Kyle. I'm like, Kathy.
Just ask for the lady. I mean, she really does live the life. And you know what this made me think of too? Do you feel like hotels and resorts get nervous when they hear Kathy Hilton is coming to stay?
I'm sure.
You know, like you just hear that name on the reservation and you just be like, oh my God, it's like White Lotus. You know, it's like, what can we do to better this experience for you, Miss Hilton?
I also just think any of the housewives, because, you know, they're going to be so picky.
Right, right. I don't feel like Kyle would be, unless she's with Kathy.
I don't know. She might be secretly. Because I think that, you know, she's just come to, she has a lot of nice things in her life, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would also say that Kathy really showed up as a housewife in this episode. She was the one hosting this whole trip.
Yes. Oh my God. I was thinking the same thing.
Okay. So she's hosting this whole trip. She organized everything, which is a big responsibility. And we love that. She organized this dinner. And when they were going around the table talking about how everyone was feeling, Kathy was the one who, as they say, understood the assignment and decided to just go for it and bring up, well, hey, I'm actually feeling a little uncomfortable with the situation that we're all faced with. And I am so glad that she brought that up.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, oh, how Erica responded just to Sutton being like, why are you speaking to me?
Why are you speaking to me? I have nothing to say to you.
I know. There is no remorse from her in any of this. Not that way she reacted, not that she threatened. She feels completely just in all of those actions.
Yeah. Well, right. I think reason is sort of thrown out the door at this point for Erica. No matter what her situation is, she's obviously in a lot of turmoil. And what I was thinking watching this episode was, you know, what is it that Erica is so triggered by when she's called a liar? And I'm wondering if it's because she's spent so many years presenting this idea of what her life is and this image of Erica Jane. And now we know that that's not necessarily the truth in many ways. You know, like her marriage to Tom maybe wasn't exactly like she portrayed it for a long time. Things that were going on behind closed doors maybe were different than what she presented on the show. So I wonder if this idea of being called a liar just triggers her in a way, because not that she feels like she's lied over the years, but she's never been able to share the whole truth.
You know, part of me thought, well, I think because now there are legal implications to her being a liar, right? Not just for her, but for Tom, I would think. But, you know, the flashback show that's always been something she's sensitive to. So I don't know. There could be truth in what you're saying.
What I'm also confused by is where Dorit and Kyle specifically stand on believing Erica or not believing Erica, because they seem to say one thing in their interviews, but aren't quite as forthcoming in person in front of Erica.
And, you know, last week we didn't recap it, but, you know, that whole conversation with the husbands and Kyle and Dorit, you know, which by the way, definitely comes up at the reunion.
Ah, okay, good.
But, and Erica has already made mention on social, she was really unhappy watching that. But yeah, like, I agree with you. I feel like they are, and I guess it's fine to not know and to not want to put yourself in a bad situation by saying you don't believe Erica. I don't know. I don't think it's that they don't believe her. I think they just are overwhelmed with information.
Right. That's fair. I mean, we saw Kyle say it in her interview. What was it, last week or the week before? You know, Erica's story is unbelievable. Does that mean I don't believe it? No, but it's unbelievable. And I was sort of like, what is she saying? I understand what she's saying in some ways, but I'm also like, that doesn't totally make sense. But okay. I'll let you have it.
And I think it doesn't help when Erica, when people are just repeating back to Erica things that she has said, and then she throws in the word allegedly.
A worse car accident, yeah. We knew.
Yeah.
And I know he was unconscious for 12 hours. I mean, the head injury allegedly, that he had. Mm-hmm.
Talking about how Tom was unconscious for 12 hours. Right. It's like, but you're the one who originally said that.
Yeah, that's not helping your cause, Erica.
Right. You're just, it's confusing.
I would also say that Sutton said Erica lied. She didn't necessarily call her a liar.
Right.
Could there be a difference in that, right?
Like, because by the way, I don't think it is that surprising that Erica would have lied about saying it was just a foot sprain or whatever, just that he broke his ankle a few years ago. That's not really her business to be telling people that he was unconscious and all of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that is, it's unfair to have expected her to have said everything then. Now there's a reason to say it. I'm just saying if all, you know, I don't want it to sound like I'm defending Erica's position, but I'm just trying to draw a line between, I think that just because you don't, I think that there are times in relationships where you don't say everything that has happened.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that makes you a liar, well, right, as opposed to someone who was just concealing some information.
Yeah. There's something about not telling the whole truth or lying by omission or whatever it may be. But I think Sutton, to Erica's face, said, well, you lied about this, which in many ways she did. But she didn't necessarily say, Erica, you are a liar and have been lying this whole time. She kind of said that to Kyle in that one scene. She had a little bit more gumption, I would say, when she wasn't face to face with Erica. But I think Sutton is still, at the end of the day, a good person. And as we know now, she did offer Erica financial help amidst the divorce. So, you know, things have just gotten really messy between the two of them. And I don't suspect we'll really see any peace, even at the reunion. We'll probably see an agree to disagree situation, but I don't know. What did you think about the very final scene in this episode? We had this moment between Erica and Rinna and Kyle.
You know, I think that it's one of those things that, again, is difficult to talk about, even just you and I, because we don't know for sure if this person is guilty or not, right? Like, that's not, hasn't been decided in the courts. So I don't want it to sound like I'm over sympathetic to someone who could have done some really bad things, but I think that it definitely helped shed light on Erica's position, in that when you love someone, it doesn't just go away. It doesn't just disappear.
Yeah. I felt like it was actually a pretty sincere moment from Erica, and especially when she mentioned, where are his kids? You know, where are Tom's kids? And as much as she, you know, divorced Tom and had the troubles in their relationship, she still cares for this man, and for better or worse in many ways. And so, you know, her feelings about his mental deterioration, potentially going into this facility, having this conservatorship, you know, over him, I'm sure no matter what, you know, whatever, like you said, happens in with the legal issues and in courts, you know, I did feel like Erica was being pretty genuine about her emotions as they relate to Tom and her marriage. But again, with all of the other circumstances, it might be hard for people to really feel sympathetic towards her. You know, in the, at least in that moment, she had Kyle and Rinna there to, you know, vent to and reveal this, but I'm not sure if that's going to help or hurt Erica's perception through the rest of the season, you know?
Yeah.
Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
So I think, you know, you called it last time we talked, but Jenny from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, her daughter Carlin, I think is going to be a rose receiver many times this season. And she definitely received it this episode for me.
She's so cute.
I could tell by the eye roll.
It sounded just like her.
She's just so cute.
I can tell by the eye roll.
What's your rose?
My rose is from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It is Kyle's Have a Piece of Bread reference, because that is the third time at least this season that Kyle has given us a prior Housewives meme reference. And I'm thrilled.
I knew you would love that.
Ladies, you want some bread? Who wants some bread?
Oh, why don't you have a piece of bread?
I am having
it. Down.
Oh.
I couldn't resist.
Your behavior's not okay.
Really?
Yeah, it's not okay.
Why don't you have a piece of bread? Maybe you'll calm down a little.
Shame on you. You're disgusting.
Please.
I couldn't resist.
You walked into that one.
What was your thorn?
So my thorn was, even though this was a great moment from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Garcelle opening up about feeling like she's never fit in. It's hard for her to fit in, I should say. And asked, has anyone walked into her room and felt like they didn't belong? And Kathy going, yes, I have. It was just like, Kathy, no, like you're not getting it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just very cringy.
Right.
But I don't think she, you know, obviously yeah. her heart is in a well-meaning place. It just, it was my thorn.
Right. Yeah. I think Kathy has probably felt like all eyes have been on her in certain rooms that she's walked in, but it might not be the exact same feeling right. that Garcelle is talking about.
Right. What's your thorn?
My thorn is from Below Deck Med, and it is Katie making the choice not to bring Delaney back, given Lexi's departure, because if the whole reason she came on to begin with was to help support Interior and add another person to the entire crew, but then we're down a stew and we have two more charters left, but we're not bringing back Delaney. Right. I'm just sort of like, I'm not following this logic here. And Delaney really grew on me in the last couple of episodes. And I think she did a good job just supporting where she needed to support the, you know, Interior. And yeah. I kind of wish Katie had just chosen to bring her back.
And we'll be back next week with an all new episode. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.